Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everybody. It's a Thursday. That means it is time for yet another edition of the Dave Holly Hour. I'm Dave Holly. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate all the downloads, all the shares, all the people that are joining the Dave Holly Hour page on Facebook. Don't forget to check out DaveHollyHour.com and take a look at everything else associated with what we do here. And, of course, it's been a strange time. Well, first of all, let me say that this is the Silver Anniversary episode. It's episode number 25. And speaking of silver, we're going to try to find some silver linings today. All right. Have a couple of great guests. Always try to have great guests, obviously. That's the goal of a show. And I'm very proud to have a good friend of mine on by the name of Dirk Lammers. I specifically wanted Dirk on this show long before the COVID-19 thing came along. Because today, the 26th of March, should have been the opening day of baseball. Dirk and I are both baseball fans. He's a big Mets fan. I'm a huge Cubs fan. We've battled back and forth. He wrote a book 5 years ago, Baseball's No-Hit Wonders. He is up top on all of the no-hitters that have been thrown throughout the history of Major League Baseball. There's been some in the past 5 years, so we talk a little bit about a couple of those. And as well, how do we tie that all into entertainment? Well, when there's no baseball to be talking about, we talk baseball movies then. So that conversation is later on in the hour. And coming up, our first conversation is going to be with Emily Wilson, who's been in Sioux Empire Community. She's been in Ephemeral Productions. She's been in Goodnight Theater Productions. And she was set to be in a play that would have premiered tonight called Melancholy Play. That has been rescheduled, or at least postponed, till sometime in the fall. When exactly? We don't know. There's so much we don't know. That's the rough part right now, is that we have such uncertainty. You know, it was just a few weeks back that all the unpaid staff here at the show, on one Saturday night, we hit five different venues. Since then, we haven't hit five venues because the world as we know it has changed. At least we hope temporarily, not permanently, but hopefully there's some good that comes out of it too, right? We all want to have some silver linings. We all want to at least continue to enjoy entertainment. Right now, a lot of that's reading. A lot of that is getting caught up on shows that have been, I still use the word taped, but, you know, they've been recorded, all right, for the digital peoples. So we've been getting caught up on those, spending a lot of time just being around each other, because my wife and I, we can still do that. Everybody else, you stay 6 feet away, okay? I hope we can laugh about some of this, and then I hope when it's all said and done that we laugh even more heartily about it, and we get back to our normal routines of going out to eat, of going out to shows, of just going out to hang with your friends and so forth. So we got to keep positive thoughts. We have to keep thinking that way, but at this point, most of us, or at least a good portion, probably know somebody that is either A, been tested, possibly has it. Hopefully, none of you have had to deal with a loss because of it. But I wanted to make sure that we continued. Last week, obviously, a very, very short show. There were no guests. Things have had to change. I do have my guests for this week, as I mentioned already, but it's going to sound different because they had to be recorded over a phone because we couldn't get together. We couldn't get together, A, because none of us wanted to be in that situation of going, ooh, what if I catch it? What if I give it? Especially with all this uncertainty that most of us don't know. So, also, the fact that the place that we were scheduled to record at has now had to close down as well. Phone situation is a little wonky. I'm just going to let you know, but I hope you stick through the whole show and listen to those two great guests. There are some parts that get a little warbly, if that's a great word to use when it comes to digital phone lines. And just stick with it, because it's well worth it to hear what these two people have to say. I will also be trying to find yet another software to be able to record. I took the first one that I could figure out. I know there are others out there, and I'm going to be working on those this week and next, because, guess who's not at work? That's right, my regular job. I have a respite from, and so I am trying to get caught up. It was very easy, obviously, for me to kind of self-quarantine. The only time we've really been out, we grilled outside during a nice evening this week, and then went for a little bit of a ride. But other than that, to the grocery store to pick up limited necessities at a time. Okay, so like I said, we need some positive thoughts, don't we? That's going to lead us into this week's
Honorable Mention.
My friend John Baronic, he is a consultant. He likes to get people together, and he likes to find solutions. And he makes a great living doing what he does, based out of Sioux Falls. He's the one that got me introduced to Toby Kane, and got me into improv years ago. He and Toby have a little company called Off the Cuff Stuff Productions. I've been in some of their productions as well for interactive dinner theaters, etc. John is a great guy. And last week, during the first week of being self, you know, putting yourself into the spot of quarantining, and he decided to do a Facebook Live and five things that you could do to keep yourself occupied and so forth. Well, he had such great response to it that he just did another one this week. And great things that he has to say. So John Baronic, for giving ideas on what to do to keep yourself occupied and keep the head thinking right, too. Thank you. My friend, you are this week's honorable mention. All right. We're going to get into the meat of the show when we come back. A lovely young lady that happens to be multi-talented, Emily Wilson, will be our first guest on the Dave Holly Hour. In just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back. It is so much a pleasure to talk to this young lady today, because she's involved in so many things, but we have a unique take on everything right now, because there's so many things that aren't taking place. Emily Wilson, you have been involved in Sioux Empire Community Theater. You have been involved in the melancholy play that was supposed to start up this week.
Yeah.
You're in Improv Falls. You've also been in Goodnight Theater Collective, and they've had to cancel some shows.
Yeah.
What's it? Because you were supposed to be in Melancholy Play for Monstrous Little Theater, so you were into rehearsals, going strong.
Yeah.
What's it like when you get the news and it says we can't go perform for people?
it's defeating. And it's heartbreaking because all of a sudden, you know, you're chugging along, you're pouring hours into something, you're doing this process, you're really working on your lines, you're refining things. Like, we were getting to that point, you know, where you're going to start putting that frosting on and we're going to start doing the decorating and putting all the finishing touches on it. And then it was like, okay, well, we're going to hold and wait and see, because they're saying gatherings of 50 people, limited at that. And then we were kind of at the point of, well, maybe we should just postpone it a few weeks and kind of see where things go. And then, like, the next day, the limit of 10 people came out. So then the board made, I believe, the right decision to just wait. You know, we're not going to do this till this fall. We're going to wait and see what happens. And I think that's for the best for everyone involved, for the patrons who would come and see it, and everyone, you know, and people not feeling obligated to come and see. Sorry. sorry, my dogs.
that's the other different thing for, you know, for doing the show right now, is the fact that doing it over the phone, where normally I like to sit down across the table from somebody and have this conversation, but everything's being so limited now. So what do you like to do in this time of isolation and so forth, of keeping yourself entertained?
Well, I'm very grateful for Good Night. They're putting on their first virtual show, so I recorded a little clip for that. Since
Excellent. After
the singing, I just have a little intro ditty for one of the bits. So just that's what I've done. You know, I'm a mom of two, so it's
That's entertaining in itself, huh?
Yeah, that's been trying to find ways to keep my kids busy and occupied, you know, just through walks and bike rides and just those sorts of things. I've been telling myself I'm going to start reading more. So I've been having my one book that I'm reading a few pages out of every night before I go to sleep, since I'm still working, and trying to just do more of that. And I'm really trying to not give my house a full house makeover, because when it gets to these points where I don't have like a performance going on or improv or things like this, I really want to start doing artsy stuff. So it usually entails me painting something. So I'm trying to save my husband's sanity and not take on a new house project on top of everything else. So that's one of those things. And, it's one of these, I'm one of these people who's like, oh, I'll start this crafting project, and I have this crafting project. So now it's also, okay, you have some time to sit down and, you know, get out of one of these crafting projects that you've started and work on finishing it and do things of that nature instead. So that way I have my outlet, since I can't perform, and since we've had to cancel so many improv shows and melancholy and can't go see performances. So I'm trying to fulfill the need other ways.
Right. Yeah. That's been the tough part for me. It was just a few weeks ago that on the show I said, hey, you know, this past Saturday night, we went to 5 different things that all involved live entertainment. And since then, haven't been able to go to 5 things total.
Right.
Yeah. So that part is frustrating for us as patrons of the arts as well. But, you know, for somebody that you spend so much time performing, I can understand the frustration, obviously. I guess the silver lining is when melancholy play comes around in the fall, you're going to have half your lines memorized already, aren't you?
Yeah.
You got a jump start on it.
Hopefully they'll come back pretty easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, too, you know, I don't know for other performers, you know, how much, you know, they rely on performing as an extra form of income, but that's definitely one of those things that's taken a hit, you know, for everyone too, of just keeping your organizations going, of, you know, just extra fund money, or if you're a little strapped and it's just a little extra cash to help you get through, you know, it's one of those things that's hard too. I mean, everybody's in this position. I'm not saying it's exclusive to artists. You know, because we're all sitting here in this kind of limbo land of what's going to happen, what's next, and it's very unnerving. But just since the art was like the first thing to stop, you know, performance and gathering in spaces, that's like the first boom, you know, income hit that a lot of us experienced. So
Very true. And that's been such a great part of what's taken place. I talk about this a lot. Over the past 5 years, maybe a decade's worth, but probably more concentrated over the last 5 years, of all the groups that are now able to go out and make a little cash. And,
yeah.
And by acting or by performing in one form or another, and you start to get used to it. It may not be budget money per se for some, but for others it might be. And now all of a sudden you're scratching, digging for dirt, trying to come up with cash for everything.
Yeah. Those performers that truly rely on it, man, my heart really goes out to them. You know, like I said, I'm still working, so I've got that. And for me, anything I make is, you know, extra fun. But for those who this is their main source of income, I really feel bad for them and what they're experiencing. And just the uncertainty of everything, it's hard right now.
And I think people would be very surprised as to how many full-time entertainers we have here in this community. You know, it's not just one person or maybe a handful. There's several dozen that make a living with whether it's music or acting or all sorts of other entertainment all culminated in one. So that obviously is tough. But let's talk about the good stuff, though.
Okay, we will. Sorry.
Because we had to cover it. We know that. Because it's part of why everything's going on the way it is right now. But let's talk about you as a performer. What got you started?
Way back in the day, my mom took me to Cats because I'm old enough to have gone to Cats as a little kid. And I fell in love with all of it. It's just the dancing and the music, and I'm a fan of Cats anyway, I'm a crazy cat lady here. But just the whole experience, it was so energizing and it was so exciting. And I would dress up in a little leotard with a pink flamingo on it. And I would have my mom draw a little cat nose and whiskers on my face. Yeah, I'll say it. She played the record for me and I'd dance around the house to the record. And that's kind of how I got started. And then I just, you know, any opportunity that came up when I was little, you know, I got involved with the community theater in my small hometown when I was in high school and started doing stuff with them. And then I did all the shows that I could through high school. And then I went to college at Augie and did theater through all of there. And that's my life. That's what I love. I just love the joy of being on stage. I love the process of telling a story. I love the process of creating a character and bringing their voice to life and sharing that with people. And it's just kind of a communal experience that you have with people, especially when you get a story that relates so deeply to something you've experienced or something that, you know, they've experienced, and you can share that bond together. And it's something you just don't get in a lot of other places, that you can just reach out to so many through different stories. And it's just, it's wonderful.
What's been your favorite role that you've had?
Oh, I always feel it's really hard. I really enjoyed playing Shelby with theater. That was great. And the show that got me back into theater, because I took that hiatus to be a mom, I loved playing Maggie in Crimes of the Heart. That was with Ephemeral Productions and Kim Bartling, her company. That was just, she was a very gritty, tough character who had skeletons in her closet, but wasn't afraid to face them and wasn't afraid of, I mean, she ran away from her problems, but when it came down to it, you know, it was such an act of self-preservation for her. And she loved so deeply those around her, you know, that she almost felt like staying away was her best way to love those. So, yeah.
So do you look for a challenging role then?
I do like a good challenging role. You know, I mean, the fun characters are wonderful and they're fun, but I do like the characters that have those deep layers about those nuances that give them so many different facets, and you can try so many different ways to get their story across, and, you know, you can see their inner struggles. And I think those are so wonderful to dig into it gives you so much to reflect and chew on, and it can make your performance a lot deeper just with these flawed characters. And but just telling their stories, because, you know, we're all deeply flawed, but it's also hoping that you could still have a human connection with that character, even though they have flaws, and hopefully not walk away hating that person at the end of it all, because they're just trying to do the best that they can, like we all are.
What's a dream role that you want to play?
A dream role? If I could sing, I would love to play Sally Bowles in Cabaret. I'm not a singer, but I love Sally. Speaking of somebody who's, oh my gosh. As far as street shows, I don't really know. Maybe someday I want to play Weezer in Steel Magnolias, just because I love Carrie Zerfus so much, and she just made it look so fun and effortless. But that's just Carrie.
Right. In a play you've already been in, but as a different character. Yeah. And that was something that was new this past year, too, that a show went on the road for Sioux Empire Community Theater.
He did.
A little mini tour. Tell us about that.
That was quite a wonderful experience. I mean, there was a lot of logistics and a lot of, oh my gosh, what are we doing? But it was such a joy to bring our show to different communities. We went to Madison, we went to Mitchell, Del Rapids, and we performed here again. So, making sure that's it. Yeah, so we went to these communities, and it was just so wonderful to reach out and get to them and impact them. Madison, you know, was just a wonderful space and such lovely host, and they were so grateful to have us, and it was just fun, and it was great to bring the story back, because we were just such a close cast and such a close crew, just the whole group of us, that was, you know, back to family. You know, it's like seeing your family, and you see them at Christmas, then you get back together and you just pick up right where you left off, and that's basically how it was for this. It was really fun. We went to Del Rapids, and the house was practically sold out, and it was packed, and it was just a great performance. And it's so nice. I'm in touch with Joan, who runs the theater in Del Rapids, and she's like, I still get text messages about people talking about how much they love Steel Magnolias, and we're so grateful to have the show come here. So I think that's just really nice that, you know, this idea is being embarked upon about helping get theater to communities where people may not be able to travel as far, or their community may not be able to have the means to put on such productions, because, you know, they are costly and all these other things that kind of get in the way. So it's nice to do that. And, you know, especially because it is far more affordable. I love the Pavilion. But, you know, sometimes the ideas of buying a ticket for a show or two tickets for a show is your whole entertainment budget. So it's nice to be able to get to communities where people can afford to go see your shows.
Yeah, and that again goes back to something else that along the past 5 to 10 years, so many more venues for people to perform in. You know, you've got the Icon Lounge, then there's a couple of different spots there. There's new venues popping up. People are performing at beer halls and so forth. So it's been fun to see everything progress. And so that's why this stoppage right now kind of hurts. But we're going to get through it, and we're going to have great entertainment again in this community because of people like you, because you're involved in so many different things. One of my favorites that I saw this past year was It's a Wonderful Life. Which was just a great show. You know, people, if they didn't see this, what they missed out on was the radio play in the 1940s of what eventually became the movie. And it's just such a great thing, because it was when you all came out in the costumes and the vintage looks and so forth, it set the scene. And then from there, it just grew, and you were drawn in the whole time, because you guys had to jump around and play different parts or do different sound effects. That had to be a blast to be in.
It was so much fun. Again, another group of people that was just another dream cast. Everybody in that, from, you know, production to the actors, to everything. It was so much fun. We all pitched in. We had great ideas. You know, Bob directed us, and he was like, sure, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. You know, if it didn't work, it didn't work. And it was just, it was so much fun, just working on the music and getting together and, you know, just listening to my castmates' talents just shine, and just the joy that we had together working on our little characters. I got off the hook. I only had to play one character, but watching my castmates the work that they did, it was so amazing. They were so much fun. And then just working on sound effects, which is something I'd never done before. And it was great to stand by Amy and do these things with her. We had so much fun, and I loved the pre-show entertainment and interacting with the crowd. So it was, we were a character playing a character. So we come out first in our first character, and then we were our show character on stage. And so it was just so fun to have all these parts to it again. And it was just such a joyous part. And everybody just, you know, the holidays, so hopefully lift people's spirits up. And if they didn't, you know, hopefully our production did, just with the music and the little bits of, you know, interaction we can do with it. Because, you know, interactive theater can be sometimes a very scary thing for people. And I feel hopefully we did it in a way that people were excited about and they liked it. And we did get great audience participation, and it was just fun. And you could tell the energy in the audience, they were just drawn in with you and they loved the story, and it was fun. And it's one of those things, like, if we did this every Christmas, I would do it for as long as they would let me play Mary.
Well, one place you do get to play several characters is in Improv Falls, where every scene is made up.
Yes.
What's your favorite part of being involved in a troupe like that?
We just, you know, I'm so lucky to be involved with all these people that are just an extension of family. And, you know, if you could pick your family, this is a group of people that I would say, these are my family. I want them. You know, they each offer so many brilliant gifts, just from running the business, from ideas on how to do things. Just, you know, everybody's here with just these little different things that they can offer to make us such a strong group. And it's just, you know, we get together and we rehearse. And we rehearse on Monday nights. Usually Mondays, you're just kind of like, oh, I can't, I don't want to just, I'm done. It's Monday. And I go to rehearsal, and it just leaves me re-energized to keep going through my week, because I just get together with these people. We just have so much fun bouncing ideas off of each other and trying crazy things. And you're in this wonderful safe space with everybody. And we just laugh and have so much fun. And then we get even more fun, because then we get to go out and perform for people with their fun ideas and just keep that energy momentum going. And it's so rewarding just to do that, just to hear the laughter echo off of the walls and see people wiping tears off of their faces and the sweat from their brows, because we're all working so hard, laughing so hard. It's so great to be able to bring that to this community, because it's so nice to have that joy to share with everyone. And that's what I love about it. I could just go on and on and on.
And we could, but we do limit it to an hour show, and I've already got another guest. So
I know. I'll stop now.
Yeah, no. trust me, you will be back. Especially when time, is over with coronavirus and everything else, and we get back to a normal life again.
Yeah.
We'll get to have a sit down across the table from each other and talk more entertainment about things that would be coming up and that you'll be involved in. But in the meantime, so thankful that you are a part of the arts and entertainment community and what you bring to it in so many different roles. But when you're not playing a role, and you're not playing the role of mom, as well, what do you like to do for hobbies and so forth? What keeps you occupied?
I enjoy running. I'm involved with some people in town and just go run with my friends, which is, you know, wonderful. I'm a big outdoorsy person in the summer. I love to hike and camp and, you know, force my kids along with things that they don't want to do, which is always great. You know, because nobody wants to hike except for me. you know, like I said, if I can have the time to sit down and do arts and crafts, I love to garden and plant flowers and the dirt. Anything where I can probably just get my hands into it and work and create new things, even if it's just planting some flower pots. That's just what I like to do. And then, you know, my husband and I have been binge-watching Jeopardy lately and trying to show off who's smarter between the two of us.
Who's winning at this point?
I think I am.
Hey, there you go. I'll take Emily Wilson for 400.
I mean, except when it comes to the sports stuff, he's going to own me.
All right. Well, Emily, thanks for spending so much time with us, and best of luck to you getting through with your family and everything else we all have to deal with the time like this. But we are so looking forward to when this time's over and we're back to normal, which means being out four or five times on the weekend, taking in great shows such as the ones you're in. Okay.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it too.
All right. And again, that's Emily Wilson. We appreciate her time. I appreciate your time. And we've still got more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a minute.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
It is great to have guests this week, but as you can tell from the quality of the audio, this is a phone call that has to take place. The COVID-19 has reached not only into the Dipsy Doodle Studios, but also one of our favorite places to record, Wood Grain Brewery, is now affected by it as well. So we're having to change things up. But at least it's not as bad as 7 or 8 pitching changes in one inning. Like what happened in baseball we're not going to see that for a while, are we? Joining me today, a good friend, an author of baseball's no-hit wonders, Dirk Lammers. How are you, Dirk?
Doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you along. I got to you early. It's like, okay, we got to know the date of the first pitch, opening Thursday, March 26th. We are ready to go. We'll have Dirk on that show that day. And here we are, no baseball to be played. What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, you know, I kind of knew what was going to happen. You started seeing things, you know, the talks in hockey and basketball, and you kind of knew, well, it's going to be delayed. And you thought, well, you know, I actually was fortunate to get to watch, I don't know, 6 or 7 spring training games early on as I have the baseball package. So I got a little bit of taste to baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, even saw some guys with numbers lower than 80 play, a few of
right.
them. So. But yeah, you kind of knew it was going to happen, and you know, you knew at least opening day was not going to be on March 26th, which was probably too early anyway. But yeah, disappointing though. You know, this would be my go-to thing to flip on the TV, and I was actually watching Match Game 78 episodes on Amazon Prime yesterday, so you could tell we're hitting
all
the
right.
bottom of the barrel.
Well, we haven't gone that far yet. we have been into The Hunters lately.
Oh,
and
I haven't.
There's another new show on Hulu with Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington that just started, and
good.
So we got a couple episodes into that.
I'll have to check it out when my when my various, I'm trying any free trial I can get up for 7 days just to shake it up a little bit.
Exactly. So. You have to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But of course, one of the things you'll find are plenty of baseball movies, and we'll get to that in a bit. But first, you know, it's interesting. We are in a situation where nobody's going to be hitting the ball, but has it already been 5 years since you wrote Baseball's No Hit Wonders?
Let's see, 2006. So we're coming up just 4 years. So,
okay.
Yeah.
4 years.
Or 2016. I'm sorry. 2016.
Yeah, all right.
Four years. Yeah, definitely five since I started the project, but four since publication.
Yeah. And since then, how many no hitters have there been?
You know, I do not remember what my count was. I think it was around either 294 or 296. When it got published, and we're up to 303. So we've had some interesting ones. Probably the most, the best storyline would be that one in which the Angels tossed the no-hitter with everybody wearing Skaggs' number after he passed away. That was probably the best storyline of those. But, of course, we had Mike Fiers tossing one, and he's now, well-known in the baseball circles because of the Astros scandal. So
trash cans.
Exactly. And you had Verlander throwing his third. So there was definitely some interesting ones since then that if I ever get an opportunity to do a second edition, I'll be happy to add those chapters.
Excellent. In the meantime, how do you keep busy with your writing? What's going on?
Oh, you know, I do a lot of, I'm working on another non-baseball, non-fiction book that's kind of been an ongoing project that's taken a long time, but I'm working on that whenever I can find some free moments. And, you know, my wife and I have a marketing PR and writing business, so I do a lot of other writing for clients as well. And, you know, I still keep up nonohitters.com, so if I want to talk no-hitters, I still have a place to do that, and I try to keep up the lists all around. You know, I even have started adding, I think it was last year or the year before, I started adding some international ones. So if you want to know the whole history of Australian or Dominican no-hitters, that's the place to go. I don't know if anybody actually does want to know that, but
you know, I would be interested in it, though, now that you mention it, because, you know, I don't think of Australia as baseball. You know, we think Japan.
Yeah,
and we think Dominican Republic, the Caribbean area, and so forth, but we don't think Australia. So there have been some, obviously.
There have.
We wouldn't have that section.
Exactly. There, you know, not a whole lot. There was one in the original Australian Baseball League, and then there's been about seven since. So, but yeah, it's interesting when you kind of open it up throughout the world. You know, I don't know if some of these countries you can call the quality of play on par, with Major League Baseball anywhere, but Japan, certainly in the Cuban leagues, when they were at their heyday, you could. But yeah, there's, you know, for every accomplishment in Major League Baseball, there's been something on par that has happened somewhere else around the globe. For instance, you know, Cuban no-hitters, there were back-to-back no-hitters, just like Johnny Vandermeer did, in MLB. There was Aquino Abreu. What is that, Abreu, I guess?
Abreu, yeah.
Abreu, yeah. He did that in 1966 for Centrales. So things that you think couldn't happen anywhere else have happened across the globe.
So have you seen a no-hitter in person?
I have not. My dad has. My dad and my two oldest sisters went to see Bob Moose no-hit the New York Mets in 1969 at Shea Stadium. My dad was very excited about that, and, you know, diehard Mets fan, but
right.
He knew the, you know, significance of that and got to watch that. And I have the ticket stub from that game, but,
You
know, I have never gotten to witness one. I think I've made it, recently. I saw Jacob DeGrom take it to the sixth inning. I was in center field, behind Curtis Granderson, in the bleachers back there. I think it was the sixth inning, and a fly ball went up into the lights and you saw Granderson, you could tell he had no idea where the ball was, and you heard thump right on the ground.
Oh.
And that was the end of the no-hitter. It was a triple.
Yeah.
Clearly not his fault. He just lost it, and that was the end of it.
I have seen a one-hitter where only 29 batters were faced. That was Carlos Zambrano.
Oh, yes.
And then after that, then he did eventually throw a no-hitter before he threw his brain out of his mind.
That's right.
Yeah.
And still to this day, there was one internationally, but it was at the time it was the only neutral site no-hitter in baseball history.
So what is exciting about, for us, because we're baseball purists, we enjoy a no-hitter, but is there still a no-hitter that's loved by the general baseball populace with how excited we are about everything going over the fence?
Yes, but I think it's after the fact. I don't think, unless you're a diehard baseball fan, I don't think you appreciate the way it builds, you know, when you get into, it starts as a slight tension. And then, you know, if it's your team, you start getting nervous, you know, and then there's a line drive that's, you know, caught by a diving third baseman. And, you know, it's that building. So I think true fans recognize that and enjoy it more, but you have plenty of no hitters in which the storyline, a few of the ones we mentioned, you know, that have happened since the book. You know, obviously the Johan Santana no-hitter, because it was the first in Mets history. You have the Dallas Braden one, in which he threw on, you know, Mother's Day, honoring his mom, you know. So I think storylines, there are ways that even casual fans can appreciate them. But I think that building tension, you have to know the game well to really appreciate that. Just as a 1-0 pitcher's duel is boring to a casual fan, but
right.
you and I would say, wow, that was a heck of a game.
Exactly, and we notice the things that's on television of, oh, he's now sitting 10 feet away from everybody else in the dugout.
Yes.
Doesn't want anybody jingling it or anything.
Which is now just social distancing, but now it's, you know, now it's considered superstitious. So
okay, I'm going to be waiting to see who's going to be the first, once we get baseball going again, who will be the first announcer to use that when we get to that situation.
That term, social distancing, yeah,
right.
That would be fun. I wish Vin Scully would still call it games. He would definitely be the one.
I do too. Yeah. In fact, I will do a brief Vin Scully when we talk baseball movies coming up in just a bit. But a little bit more on the one or the no hitters with is it as exciting? Obviously, with the ball going out of the park, if your team that you're a fan of is up by 8. Then you love the no-hitter, don't you?
Exactly, yes. And that's the one. But you know they're not as exciting when it's a blowout.
Well, true. But it is good to see a great game, and hopefully we'll be seeing some soon. You had said you saw about a half dozen preseason in the exhibition leagues. I saw 2 was all.
Oh.
Yeah, and then it was right after that. Just as, you know, you talked about the numbers under 80, when I was watching, most of the Cubs were 60s, 70s, 80s, and so forth.
Yeah.
And they weren't hitting the ball either. And so then the first game I don't get to see, before they call things off, they finally started hitting the ball. And so it's like, oh, sure, now I don't get to watch it for who knows how long. But hopefully everything will clear up, and we can start thinking spring in more than just the calendar and get that feeling back for us.
I hope so, because, you know, everyone feels hopeful in spring training. But I, even as a Mets fan, I was feeling particularly good after seeing the team gelling, and I was thinking, this could be better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned the Mets, and I, of course, being the Cubs fan, because you did sign my baseball's no-hit wonders book.
Yeah.
And you even said you would root for the Cubs as long as they weren't playing the Mets.
I do. I think it was 2009 or 2008 or 2009 that I finally made it out to Wrigley. And Saw a wonderful game there with my two boys, and it went into 11 innings. And we got into the car after that game, and we drove straight to New York, and then we saw a game at Chase Stadium. So that was quite.
What a great trip! That's yes. Excellent. Being able to share that as well, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So let's move into baseball movies then.
Okay.
Okay. And I will do my little bit that I do of Vin Scully.
Terrific.
And since it's your book is Baseball's No Hit Wonders, we will do a baseball movie about a perfect game. For Love of the Game?
Yes.
Love that movie. Kevin Costner, you know, he's been in several baseball movies, but he ends up throwing a perfect game, Detroit at the Yankees, last day of the regular season. And Yankees are going to be in the playoffs, Detroit hopeless, as they have been many times. He's getting ready to whether he's going to be continuing a contract and so forth. And he ends up throwing this perfect game, and in between the pitching sequences, they go through his life and so forth. But his last name is Chappell.
Yes.
And Vin Scully is the play-by-play guy in the movie. And it's at Yankee Stadium. And at the end, when he throws the perfect game, Vin Scully says, "In the cathedral that is Yankee Stadium, today it's a chapel."
Yeah.
I love that line.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine that movie without Vin Scully, because that's probably what kept me into it the whole time, is to hear his voice.
What is your favorite baseball movie?
You know, I've got to say Field of Dreams.
There you go, brother.
It's between Field of Dreams and Bull Durham. I love both. They're very different. But to me, the one that, you know, gives you the feel, so to speak, has got to be Field of Dreams. I just love, you got great actors with James Earl Jones and Kevin Costner and Ray Liotta. Shoeless Joe is just great. And that to me is the one that, and you can have it on video where you have the full uncut version without commercials, but still,
right.
If you flip by and it's on, you're probably going to leave it on that channel.
It is a default movie. That is for sure. And both of them that you mentioned are, but before we move on to Bull Durham, a little bit more about, Field of Dreams, that has the line that can bring the toughest SOB to tears at the end. "Hey Dad, you want to have a catch?"
Yes. Yeah. That's a hard one to get through for any guy who grew up playing baseball and playing catch with his dad. My dad, 1999, he's been gone since. So, and there's, you know, not a baseball season goes by where you wouldn't want to have that last catch.
Yeah, exactly. And my father just passed away a couple of years ago at this time of the year. And, he basically was one of the founders of, we didn't have Little League in Rock Rapids, Iowa. We had Kiwanis baseball, but he was in Kiwanis and they started that league. And he ended up being a coach. He didn't know that much about baseball, but he loved kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of those that no matter how busy he was with his business and life in general, he always took time to play catch.
Yeah.
So that's one of those that you just can't help but love what that means for father and son relationships.
Yeah, the movie is so much bigger than baseball, and
true.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Bull Durham. How can you not? That's the other default of default movies, if ever, because it's on every channel for about 7 or 8 weeks in a row.
Right. But yeah, just that's one though. You kind of want to have the adult version of that film. It's just a little funnier without anything
blue. True. Yes.
But yeah, just the performances in that are just so funny. Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon are amazing. You know, Kevin Costner always is, and even the other characters in that thing. The scene I always like, you know, the scene on the mound where they're trying to figure out, you know, what to do for the candles of the
right.
And, you know, that it's,
we need a live rooster.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
that's a great movie. And I've gotten to see a Durham Bulls game before. So I've gotten to go to there and see them play. And I like to, I've been to the Field of Dreams site. I've been to the Durham Bulls Stadium. I like to kind of try to keep in touch with some of those movie sites, when you find out where they're filmed. Apparently the, I had hoped in Boston to see the scene where, you know, Terrence Mann's apartment was, and I found out it's somewhere in Iowa where actually filmed. Yeah, Cedar Rapids or so. I don't know exactly where, but I was looking in the wrong state, apparently.
Third door that doesn't have a chicken in front of it.
Exactly, exactly.
Bull Durham, though, I would love to go to that stadium to see the Durham Bulls.
I don't know if it's the same stadium from the movie. The one I went to is... it's in a different the one on the movie looks pretty open. This one is, it's kind of downtown in its warehouse district, and it's a wonderful stadium, but I think it's a newer place since the movie. I'm not entirely sure of that though.
What is it about a baseball movie that we get excited about? Obviously for you and I being baseball fans, but baseball movies in general still do well.
Yeah, I think for anybody, you know, who's older, who's, you know, probably not playing baseball on a regular basis, I think that, you know, whether we remember our Little League days or something, it's that team camaraderie that you just, you know, the banter back and forth between players, the, you know, the funny lines from coaches. I think you know, I would imagine it's the same as a retired player who's not, you know, in baseball, that missing of being around the game, so to speak. I think that's probably, we're all, you know, a Little League player that misses being around the game.
Right.
And for me, that's what it is. I love the atmosphere. And, you know, even when, you know, when I was doing interviews for the book, you know, some of them were by phone, but anytime I was going to a major league park, I'd see, well, who's throwing a no hitter on these two teams, and or coaches, or, you know, or broadcasters. And I try to arrange interviews. So, you know, I had the privilege of interviewing Clay Buchholz in the Boston dugout at Fenway Park. And I'm thinking, you know, wow, I'm sitting where Babe Ruth's at, you know. It's just, you know, amazing to some of these, you know, cathedrals and stuff, and just being around anything like that, whether it's smelling the grass. You know, I think every kid has a story about, you know, especially who grew up watching baseball on a black and white television, walking through that tunnel minus Shea Stadium and seeing the green grass and never seeing anything like that. You know, that's such a universal theme. I think we all kind of go back to our childhood and our connection to baseball when we see a baseball movie.
Very true. Another one that I love is The Natural.
Yes.
And that may be just as much for the music out of it as well. But, you know, the fun times of watching old time baseball.
Yes. And Robert Redford's great in that, and, you know, just some of the irony in the movie, some of the funny, you know, funny scenes. You know, obviously the New York Knights are kind of probably the equivalent of the Yankees franchise. I think everyone kind of feels that, and just,
right,
you know, the history around it, and, you know, the old curmudgeonly coach, and it's a great movie.
And you know,
the reporters,
and the owner.
The shiesty owner, the you know, caricature artist that's doing the cartoons. You know, that I think anybody that grew up, you know, 70s, 80s watching baseball would have loved to have been a part of that really old.
Very true.
It's a wonderful period piece.
All right. Well, Dirk, it's been a pleasure. Before we let you go, though, one of the things we always like to ask on this show is, when you're not writing and doing what you do, how do you like to be entertained?
Well, you know, we watching more TV probably than we want to. You know, my wife and I like to travel. That's going to be off the radar for quite some time, I think. So, you know, I have my keyboard set up. I like to play some songs to keep me sane a little bit. And, you know, hopefully I'll get to watch baseball again, because that's going to be the thing I'll be missing, especially as these warmer months come up.
All right. Well, certainly appreciate you spending time on the phone. Can't wait to see you again in person next time the beer's on me, okay?
Sounds good, and good luck to the Cubs. If we play any games this season, I wish you the second best of luck in the National League.
Likewise. All right, Dirk, thank you very much. More of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Well, we're going to get set to say goodbye for this week. And next week, again, I hope to have a better handle on how to do the over-the-phone recording, since it's probably likely won't be in interviewing anybody person-to-person like I prefer to. But we go with what we can go with. And as well, there are things taking place. Nothing we can go to in reality, but virtually. For instance, just the other evening, the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society had a jazz-a-thon. They did that on Facebook, a Facebook Live event. They were raising some funds that will go to the artists that are affected by all this. In fact, if you are an artist that been affected and might be in need of some funds, check with them. They may have some funds yet that they're going to be giving out, or they may know of other places that may be able to assist you as well. And then our friends at Goodnight Theater, as Emily mentioned, going to be doing a virtual cabaret. People that have been involved in them, from my understanding, have done some little clips here and there, and maybe some other fun stuff to be part of as well. Check them out on Facebook, and you'll get an idea as to what they have going on for their virtual cabaret and how you can get involved in it. Also, don't forget that you may also check out what we have available on DaveHollyHour.com. I'm also going to be recording in the next day or two one of my other podcasts, the More M-O-R. If you like old standards music, you know, Rat Pack type things, instrumentals, we'll have a few tunes and give you some history on those. So that's something that you can check out as well at DaveHollyHour.com. You can learn more about that, or you can just simply on Apple, Spotify, and in that case, even Google, you can just put in More M-O-R and find that podcast. So I wish you all the best. Stay safe. And regardless, even during tough times and having to stay at home for a few weeks, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.